On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and glad you came by. I am here, you are there, so we're connected. Glad to have it. On this Tuesday, the 11th day of May, year of our Lord 2021, my name is Tom Sullivan. Why do I sound hoarse? I don't know. It's I get this every year with, I don't have allergies per se, but I can tell I get little frogs in my throat when things are in bloom. You know, grass, pollens, all that sort of stuff. So we have a lot to go. We've got an update on the horse that won the Kentucky Derby. Don't know what's going to happen there, but got an update for you there. We have. I want to go over some of the business about the stock market. Started off this morning absolutely in a free fall. We were down 500 points. So we'll watch as we get we're in the last hour of trading for the day, and it's coming back. We'll find out how the thing finished, but it's getting very volatile out there. We've got a huge amount of money for various states. The one that's getting the most complaint is the one for California, because California just said they've got a $45 billion surplus. And why are we giving them $75 billion when they obviously don't need it? So this gets into, and it's not just them. They say that they got a surplus. They actually don't. I'll explain it. The same with Illinois. The same with Michigan. And it has to do with unfunded pensions. That I know it sounds a little wonky, but I mean, if you are counting on your state pension, there's a lot of Florida is fine, but a lot of states, there's a huge number of states that are way underfunded, and so they're taking all kinds of money and just giving it away. So we got some money gripes there. And when it comes to Washington, D.C., they're busy with I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I am curious what you think about two things that are going on today. One, well, tomorrow is the big vote on whether or not they're going to change leadership in the Republican Party, with Liz Cheney most likely being booted out. And no, she'll still be a congresswoman from Wyoming, but they're trying to get her competition for when she gets for re-election in 2022. I don't know does it make any difference to you who is the leader and who's not the leader, or who's number three on the list? It seems like it's a big deal to people that are in Washington, D.C., and live it, that are in the business, in the political business. I guess that's pretty darn important. Who is number three on the power list? I look at it and go, I want to hear from you about what do you think of the state of the Republican Party. Now, I've told you that the media loves to report on all the dirty laundry going on with the Republican Party in Washington. The Democrats, there was some reporting about it. There was the Bernie wing and the AOC wing. And then there was the Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden part of the Democrat Party that was more center left versus the far right, far left. And I'm looking at that and I go, well, that we don't hear much about it. Biden's trying to take claim for making unity moves in the Democrat Party. Do you think the Democrats are unified? I don't, but Biden has definitely moved much further left to appease the far left. But on the right side of the aisle, they are having their fight. And I don't know if this is something that you care about. To me, it's not about Liz Cheney or Elise Stefanik or any of those people. It's about what is going on with the Republican Party. What is the Republican Party? Do they represent policies? Do they represent ideals? Do they represent conservatism? Or is it all about, is it Donald Trump's party? And whatever Donald Trump is for or against is what the party is now for or against. And so there's that stretch. And so Kevin McCarthy, who wants to be speaker, he wants to take back the House in 2022. The House and the Senate are up for grabs. The Republicans should be able to get them back. But I'm not sure they're going to be able to if they're fighting. And I don't know why this has become a big public fight. It seems like it's the same thing as we saw before, where you had Republicans in power. The first 2 years of the Trump administration, Republicans had the Senate, they had the House, they had the White House. And could they get Obamacare reform done? Nope. They got a tax bill through, but nothing else of consequence. And so it seems like there's a group of Republicans that are fighting with the other Republicans, and they, as a result, they never come together to get things done. That's my perception behind it, but I don't know. It looks to me like whatever the Republican Party was, for those of you that are Republicans, do you feel like you are still a member? Are they the party that you want to belong to? Republicans. Because it's changed, and it's changed rather rapidly. So if you're a Republican, are you still thinking the Republicans are the place to be? Or if you are or were a Republican, are you going, this isn't the party that I signed up for? I don't have a party anymore. Where do I go? I can't join the Democrats. I think there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people. You can look at the numbers of people that have said, I'm registering as an independent. I think most independents are Republican-leaning, but they don't like the Republican Party. So I'm not sure what you think about all of that. Plus, today in Washington, they're also holding hearings on H.R. 1. This is the voting rights bill that the Democrats are pushing and pushing hard. That would, I mean, look, you can be pro-Democrat, pro-Republican, but when it comes to voting, it should be working to make sure you have a level playing field, but that's not what some of them are so deeply committed to their party. It's party over country. It's truly whatever we can do for our party over whatever we can do for our country. And so they're spending a lot of money, and they're bankrupt. There's a story today about a dark money group bankrolled by a Swiss foreign national that is spending big on lobbying in favor of this federal election law, H.R. 1. The group is called the 1630 Fund. It is a clearinghouse for dozens of left-wing groups. They have poured nearly $2 million into efforts to get senators to vote for H.R. 1 and with the voting rights bill, and which sounds wonderful. Who's against voting rights? Trust me, it's not what the title says. And they're also pushing hard to get the Senate to vote in favor of Washington, D.C. statehood. So this bill is the largest overhaul of U.S. election law in at least a generation. It involves the voting process. The federal government will have much more say on what states can do. And yet, if you look at the way our country was founded and the way it was designed, was for the states to control and run their own elections. We have 50 different elections every 4 years for president. But they're going to require states to automatically register voters, offer same-day voter registration, requires 15 days of early voting, allows no excuse absentee balloting. There's 14 states would have to conform to this federal rule, that because right now they don't. So this 1630 fund is pushing out a lot of money to a lot of senators, and they're trying to get they're trying to buy this vote and make sure it goes in the Democrat. It's very, very heavy pro-Democrat. I'm fine with Democrats fighting for whatever they believe is their ideals and all that, but not when it comes to the voting laws and trying to stuff federal rules instead of states running their own elections freely. So lots of money that's heading to a favorite senator near you. This is big. This is desperate. This is a one-time shot. They're doing everything they can while they've got the House, the Senate, and the White House. And I go back and I just get so frustrated because the Republicans had that as well and wanted to do things that they could not get done because the Republicans fight among themselves. It appears to me that the Democrats are more unified than the Republicans by miles. And I don't know why the Republicans can't see that. So what's your take on this? What is your take on the fight for or against Liz Cheney? What is the Republican Party today? Is it the party that you want to belong to? Yes or no? Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can also find that number on my website, TomSullivan.com. The president signed a deal with Kim Kardashian to let more people out of jail.
I love my president, but the more I hear about Kardashians, I just feel like we're in.
Alrighty. So, yeah, the Democrats are, they're just as divided, but they seem to be getting along. And they seem to, with very narrow majorities, seem to be able to keep all the kittens corralled. They're all for the same thing. And they see this opportunity about changing the voting rules as one of their big prizes, and they're going to try and get that done with help from outside foreign money. 855-295-6600, Max in Missouri. Hello, Max.
Yes, Tom, I was raised a Republican, and I hold firm to those values, but I'm very worried about the GOP. No one seems to be pushing any policies or programs. It's like all anyone does is complain about the left, and if that's all they're doing, I mean, how can they even be a party still? Thank you, sir. I'll let you talk.
You bring up an interesting point, though, but what, Max, it's a conversation. You don't hang up. All right. He brings up, what are his values? So I wanted to ask Max, what are your values? And are those values that you have known from you were brought up as a Republican, are those values still the values of the Republican Party? And if they are, then you should belong to them. And if they're not, what are you going to do? I think in politics, it's easier to be in the minority. So you can complain because they're very good at complaining. But if you are in the majority, you have to lead. And this is what's worrying me, is where are the leaders in both political parties? Seriously, where? Because a lot of it now, they're not about leadership. It's about celebrity populism, stunts, making headlines by saying or doing something outrageous. That's not leadership. Talk to Ian in California. Ian.
I wanted to say you're touching on something that a lot of people can't seem to really articulate, which is why Trump was so successful. The Republican Party is so divided, and Trump's slogan of drain the swamp, it wasn't about getting Democrats out of office and pushing it and just making it a Republican or GOP government. It was about these people that the conservative party that are in the Republican Party that conservatives are extremely fed up with, because they fight every tooth and nail against actual conservative action and conservative majority, which is anti-bureaucracy, lower taxes, and other things right. like that. And so Trump did right. what Trump does best. He put his name on, he marketed that and he put his name on it. And that's why Trump was so successful. It wasn't about Trump and that we love Trump, even though, he's got a great personality and he's good at making people laugh, but it was about a dissatisfaction with the inaction within the American GOP.
Agreed. Because in 2016, he had a very simple message. It was, I'm going to go into Washington and I'm going to drain the swamp, like you said, which I think probably all Republicans were for, and I would think a lot of Democrats too, that they're tired of the wasteful do-nothing politicians in Washington, D.C. They waste our money. They don't fix anything. They don't help people. So let's throw them all out.
They're more concerned with. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's how he won. You're right. I'm echoing your comment. I agree with you. So now what?
Yeah, and he, these do nothing politicians, they care more about, like you said, spending our money, raising taxes, and pleasing everybody while they do it, putting on a happy face, more than actually getting things done and being staunch conservatives, which is why, DeSantis is looking so good right now, because he's one of the Republicans that is demonstrating in action, actual conservative and Republican values, which is...
He is. Whether you agree or disagree with him, he is taking action, getting laws passed, signing things into law. I think people like that. Yeah. So why are the Republicans not unified right now is the big question I have, but I got to hit a break. Ian, I do appreciate the call. 855-295-6600.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
I sure do. Talking about this is the hearing started today. It's a little wonky sounding, but it is in the Senate Rules Committee. The Senate Rules Committee is 50-50 percent wise. Just as many Democrats as there are Republicans. Liberals have made this voting. They call it what's the name of this thing? I wrote it down because it's for the American people or something like that. H.R. 1, For the People Act. Yes, Remember what I told you? If you ever run for office, you always have to end every sentence with "for the people." So that's what they've done here. This got Nancy Pelosi's fingers all over it. So it's in the Senate, that in the Senate Rules Committee today, liberals, according to the New York Times, liberals have made this H.R. 1 their number one top legislative priority. This is it. They're going for the whole enchilada here. It's an 800-page bill, and Republicans are digging in and saying this thing is going to override states' rights. And it's got a lot of things to make voting shenanigans easier. So let's not make it easier. Let's make it so that, what's the expression they use? They did this back in 2001 or 2002, the Voting Rights Act. Then they gave states a bunch of money, but it was to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. That's the bumper sticker. So they're having this big debate today, but this is the number one legislative priority by the Democrats. The question is, will it actually pass? And Republicans are getting ready to filibuster this thing because it is so deeply flawed. Karl Rove picks up a little bit of his observations on this whole business.
Well, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but we need to make certain it doesn't, because this thing does federalize elections and it has a bunch of bad provisions in it. It provides public financing, for example, of elections by 6-1. You give up to $200, the federal government matches that contribution with six times, so $1,200. No voter ID laws. Every voter ID law in the country is wiped out. It limits the ability to keep accurate voter lists. For example, it says states can't check people at the polls against the registration list. People can show up and change their name and their address at the polls, and that's not set aside as a provisional ballot to be further checked. It's thrown into the big batch. You can't check with other states. You can't remove people from the voter list even if they've not voted, and you've sent them a postcard, and the postcard has come back saying that person no longer lives at the address. You have to leave them on the rolls. Everyone gets a ballot mailed to them, and no ID, no notary, no witnesses. They mail them out, and anybody can fill them out and send them back in. It bans outside observers at the polls. The only people who can challenge a voter or somebody who shows up at the polls is an election official, not an observer representing either the Democratic or Republican parties. Everybody who donates to a 501c4 gets disclosed. The NAACP fought this provision all the way up to the Supreme Court in the 1950s, and the ACLU is even saying this is a problem. You can vote anywhere. You don't have to show up at your precinct. You can show up anywhere in your community or your state and vote. It limits on corporate speech. If you're a company, there are very severe limits on it, but there are no limits on what unions could do. And again, the ACLU has said this is wrong. Right. And I could go on. I got like three or four boards here. I mean, okay. Ballot harvesting, partisan groups can literally collect ballots from individuals without any supervision by the local election authorities, yeah. and put them together and then vote them or not vote them as they see fit. I mean, this has got a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going for it. Like I said, they're going for the whole enchilada. They want everything. And Carl's all worked up about it, rightfully so. I think you should be too. But the fact that they're going to do public financing of elections, this has been debated for a long time. I could argue for or against. But no voter ID? Really? So all the voter ID laws in the country would be not valid. That they can't compare you to the voter registration list when you show up to vote, mail a ballot to everybody, can't remove anybody from the registration, from the polls, the voting rolls. Well, then there's a whole bunch of dead people that are wide open for people to take their name and vote for them. The list goes on and on and on. 855-295-6600. I hope they're able to stop this. This is This is partisan. I mean, I understand partisan politics. I get it. I'm for it. They debate each other, and that's terrific. But this is playing with the balance that's supposed to be there in any way, shape, or form when it comes to voting. Fine, you want to raise taxes, Democrats, go ahead, do your thing. Republicans, you want to lower them, go ahead, do your thing. But about you and me, our rights as voters, if they're messing with the foundation of what makes our country great. It just is. I mean, you cannot mess. We already we came out of the 2020 election with a lot of people going, I don't know if I can trust the system. We need to make it so that people can trust it again. Because if we can't trust our voting system, we've lost our democracy. Jessica in Kansas. Jessica, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hello. I've been listening to your show for a while now since I moved to Kansas from Hawaii. And what I don't understand, welcome. And it's baffling to me, that I can't get a library card without my ID and proof of address. But they want people to be able to vote for the leaders of our country who make these major decisions without an ID. It doesn't make any type of sense. You can't even register your kid for school without an ID. I don't know how any of that makes sense at all. It's bothersome.
Well, what do you think the reason is? Because what it does is allows for people who want to fraudulently play around with our voting system, it allows them. It's a lot easier to do that. You can show up and vote wherever you want without voter ID. I mean, it's just your vote basically is. I think your vote is trashed if this thing goes through. I really do. I think this is
definitely
critical.
I mean, but I don't know how it can. I don't know how any person of just I'm not a super intelligent person, you know, but I mean, it makes sense to me that you should have an ID when you can't go to the store and buy certain things without an ID, when you can't get a library card without an ID, when you can't do simple things, you can't get on an airplane without an ID. You can't, you know, like you can't do so many things without an ID. And this is one of the most important things in our country for our families, for our future. And how can that be justified in any type of way? Nothing they can say. It's not discriminatory. It has nothing to do with any of that. And it's just so.
No, but they're trying to. But they're
to be fraudulent.
They're saying that is what the evil Republicans want to do, is to make sure that especially minorities don't vote. That is their cry. This is a racist Republican effort to stop this. And I'm with you. I don't think it's racist at all. Everybody, doesn't matter what your race is. When you, like all the different examples that you've given about to deal in today's society, you need ID. That's all it comes down to. Well, listen, Jessica, I got to hit a break, but thank you. I appreciate the call. Glad you're listening. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. You can also find the number on my website, tomsullivan.com.
You are the best radio talk show on the air in America today.
Wow, thank you. Okay, so we had a caller call about the dark money from Switzerland, which is being poured into Democrats' pockets to vote for this bill. It's called the 1630 Fund. He wanted to know what it's all about. 1630 Fund. It's all spelled out. It's not numbers. 16 and then 30. They are a clearinghouse for a bunch of different groups. They have poured $2 million into the efforts to sway senators on this bill and also on D.C. statehood. Okay? They have funded an outside firm lobbying firm of Keith Singer Partners. They've given them $1.3 million and another $480,000. Maura Keefe, former chief of staff for New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen, is the woman who heads up this shop. That's what she's doing now. She's a lobbyist. They've also given money to another lobbying firm, Kuntopus Denham Carr and Reed. And that particular firm, the guy who runs that is, or a gal, I don't know, M.J. Kenny. M.J. Kenny worked for Dick Durbin, the Senate Majority Whip, up until 2019. The billionaire from Switzerland that's behind all of this is a guy named Hans-Jörg Wyss, W-Y-S-S. He is not a U.S. citizen. He is the financial backer behind 1630 Fund. He does not identify its donors. They have directed $135 million into the fund since 2016, and we don't know how they're spending it. So it's dirty money from foreigners, and there's no record. No, we don't know who it is. Other than you can only go so far. There was 1630 also gave money to a lobbying firm, Arabella Advisors, founded by Eric Kesser, former Bill Clinton appointee, part of the Clinton Global Initiative in those days. They have brought in $715 million since 2019. So this is big, and they're getting a lot of money from all over the world to try to get this thing passed. Something called the Hub Project, one of Wyss's groups under the umbrella of 1630, and there's another one called the New Venture Fund that is spending $30 million attacking Republican congressional candidates. So that's the kind of money that you're up against. Big. Hundreds of millions of dollars. It's the way it's done. Let's get Don from Reno, Nevada. Don, welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. What do you make of this?
This might be off topic because I was listening to your comments earlier, but, you know, the Democrats and Republicans, I mean, it seems to me like the Democrat, the extreme left are trying to take over the moderate Democrats. And
yes.
The Republicans, the old guard, are standing up to their will and don't want to budge anywhere. And the new guys coming in are... they're not giving them much latitude. So I don't know. I think it's both sides that are causing the problems. As far as spending money, you know, I remember Ronald Reagan once said, you know, the president doesn't spend money, Congress does. And is Joe Biden spending our money with executive orders?
Yeah. Mostly legislation. I mean, the big money is legislation. Executive orders are policies and things like that. But, yeah, there's money involved. But I'm with you on parties are always going through a transition. The Republican Party today is not the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan. The Democrat Party today is not the Democrat Party of John Kennedy. Not even close. They both have rapidly changed. And so that's why I asked the question. Which party do you align with? And not just knee-jerk, because I always have, therefore I align with one or the other. It's I'm really asking, this isn't the same party that you probably belong, that you probably first signed up to, either one of them. So what do you do?
No, Tom, I'm not the ultra, I'm the conservative, but I'm not the ultra-conservative. I'm kind of middle of the road, but you know, I like the First Amendment or First Amendment, Second Amendment, things like that. But
sure,
it seems to me they're putting so much control on us as a society, on both parties, that it's really difficult today than it was in 19. I grew up in, I was born in 1957, so we're about the same age, I think. You know, the 70s and the 80s and the 90s are a lot different than what we're going through today.
I have a different take than you, and let me explain. I think the parties don't have control. They used to be stronger, and they used to vet candidates. If you were running for a federal office from the middle of nowhere, they want to know who you are and what your background is and make sure that you are that you fit in with the conservative principles of the Republican Party. Today, and the Democrats do the same thing. Today, it's anybody who shows up and is popular can run for office and raise money, and they get elected under the banner of that party. Both parties do it. AOC, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you name it. They're able to go out, and they never, ever would have been allowed to be part of the party banner, party label, 20 years ago. Now, people can run from any corner of the country. So I don't know how people feel about that, because it was more controlled, and now it's out of control, in my humble opinion.
I agree 100% there, Tom. And, you know, I just don't know if who's gonna win this battle of wars. Is it going to be – I think the 2022 elections are going to swing both sides.
Yeah, we're going to decide that they're going to put their best foot forward, the Democrats and Republicans. They're coming up with their message and their best foot forward, and we, the voters, will say if we're happy with that. We'll find out, but it's going to take at least the 2022 election.